A father receives a letter from his 12-year-old daughter. It's written in careful cursive, each word deliberate. "I never want to see you again. You're a terrible person and you ruined our family." He recognizes the phrases. They're identical to what his ex-wife said during their last court hearing. His daughter didn't write this letter. She was simply the hand that held the pen. This is parental alienation, and it's happening in millions of homes right now. 20 million American children are currently caught in this psychological crossfire, learning to hate a parent they once loved, not because of anything that parent did, but because the other parent has waged a quiet war for their minds. Parental alienation manifests in three distinct patterns. The most common involves narcissistic mothers after divorce, systematically erasing fathers from children's lives. They appear charming to outsiders, volunteering at school, posting heartwarming updates. Behind closed doors, they conduct calculated campaigns. Every missed soccer game gets mentioned repeatedly. Child support checks arrive with commentary about dad's priorities. Scheduling conflicts mysteriously appear before visitations. Children absorb this steady drip until they parrot the same criticisms, convinced these thoughts are their own. The second pattern unfolds within intact families, where narcissistic mothers create artificial intimacy by sharing inappropriate confidences about the father's inadequacies. The child becomes her emotional confidant, a role that feels special until years later when he realizes he never had a childhood, only a job as his mother's therapist. The third pattern involves physical violence and terror. Children align with abusive parents through identification with the aggressor. Becoming like the person who hurts you feels safer than resisting. When your world is controlled by someone unpredictable and dangerous, you learn to see reality through their eyes. It's not love, it's Stockholm syndrome in a family setting. Cults operate through charismatic leaders demanding absolute loyalty, isolating members, controlling information, and making love conditional on obedience. Alienating parents function identically, except their followers are children, trapped by biology and law in a cult they can't leave. The tactics are chillingly systematic. Relentless badmouthing creates a constant soundtrack. Your father is a piss-poor dad. Your mother is a whore and a slut. Children hear these messages thousands of times until they become accepted truth. Maria's mother manufactured fear, claiming her father had beaten her as a baby and planned to kidnap her. With communication completely controlled, Maria believed every word. Most insidious is the withdrawal of love whenever children show positive feelings toward the targeted parent. Mention having fun at dad's house, and your mother's face goes cold. The warmth you depend on vanishes. You learn quickly. Loving dad means losing mom. Children become hypervigilant, monitoring their words, suppressing authentic feelings, performing the required hatred. The alienating parent rewrites history entirely. Birthday cards get thrown away, then the child hears their father forgot their birthday. Phone calls are blocked. See, he doesn't even try. The targeted parent becomes simultaneously blamed for everything, yet supposedly absent and uncaring, a contradiction that creates profound psychological damage survivors carry into adulthood. Parental alienation constitutes severe emotional abuse, mapping onto established frameworks of psychological maltreatment, rejection, isolation, emotional abandonment, terrorizing, corrupting, verbal assault, and overpressuring. Iris's mother told her she wished we were never born. Alex's mother made her stop smiling like her father, making her feel ugly. These rejections carved into their sense of worth, creating wounds that festered for decades. Isolation extended beyond the targeted parent. Edward couldn't play with neighborhood children because his mother needed to keep her eyes on him. After visits with the targeted parent, children often faced the cold shoulder treatment, teaching them that loving both parents was impossible. Some weaponized fear. Jason was beaten with a belt at age 3, leaving him completely terrified for most of my boyhood. Jonah's father came home drunk and forced him to confess faith and allegiance while threatening suicide with a gun. Terror became the family's climate, with the targeted parent blamed for the alienating parent's instability. The corruption was subtle but profound. Children became spies, reporting on the targeted parent and encouraged to verbally abuse them. Betty's mother would hit me, call me names, and start screaming, yet Betty defended her for years. Perhaps most damaging was parentification, making children responsible for an adult's emotional well-being. When your mother cries and says she can't survive without you, you stop being a child. You become a caretaker, a therapist, a hostage negotiator, carrying a burden no child should bear. How do you realize you've been manipulated your entire life? As M. Scott Peck observed, to come to terms with the evil in one's parentage is perhaps the most difficult psychological task a human being can be called on to face. Children will contort themselves psychologically to preserve faith in their parents, even assuming they themselves are bad rather than acknowledging parental betrayal. Most didn't wake up until well into adulthood, an average of 20 years after alienation began. For some, simple maturation provided enough distance to question the narrative. Others awakened when the alienating parent turned on them. Felicity had idolized her father until he began calling her a demon for exploring Wicca. It is kind of hard to think about idolizing somebody who's not being nice to you. David's breakthrough came watching his ex-wife use identical tactics with his daughter. I noticed this from an adult perspective, and I started to remember things that had happened to me. Robin's turning point came when his mother contacted his paternal grandfather, who revealed he'd been searching for Robin for years. Extended family, romantic partners, therapists, and becoming parents themselves often triggered the awakening. The realization was rarely sudden. Most described it as slow and painful, like waking from a decades-long dream. Despite the discomfort, nearly all felt grateful to finally know the truth, experiencing profound relief at ending the inner disorder that occurs when your mind and body are at war over reality. Parental alienation's wounds extend far beyond childhood, shaping self-perception, relationships, and parenting for decades. Veronica, at 42, explained, "I always thought I was bad, really nasty. I always had no confidence, even when I achieved something significant." This worthlessness stems from toxic beliefs, that she carried her targeted father's badness in her genes, that he abandoned her because she wasn't lovable, and that she had betrayed someone who loved her. Depression emerged as nearly universal, rooted in unprocessed grief. Carl described his depression as a hole in his soul that healed only after reconnecting with his father after 45 years. Children couldn't grieve naturally. Instead, they heard good riddance to bad rubbish when they needed to cry. Substance abuse became a common escape. Sarah, now 15 years sober, shared, "I started drinking at 14, trying to forget how much I missed my mom." Trust issues infected all relationships. Women alienated from fathers often believed men couldn't truly love them, while others, like Mark, 38, admitted to testing every partner until they left, unconsciously proving abandonment was inevitable. Most disturbing was the intergenerational transmission. Many became alienated from their own children, repeating the cycle they'd sworn to break. Recovery begins with self-forgiveness, recognizing that as a child, you lacked tools to resist sophisticated manipulation. Your alignment with the alienating parent wasn't moral failure, but survival. Reuniting with the targeted parent means examining specific memories, separating reality from implanted narrative, often requiring professional guidance. Reconnect with suppressed parts of yourself. Natural feelings of love and attachment cut off to please the alienating parent. Many survivors describe this as meeting their authentic self for the first time. Confronting the alienating parent rarely brings validation. Narcissistic parents seldom acknowledge wrongdoing. Many survivors maintain altered relationships, more superficial, carefully bounded, managed through emotional distancing. For targeted parents, maintain consistent involvement despite rejection. Every positive interaction plants doubt in the alienation narrative. When children repeat accusations, avoid arguing defensively. Try, "I see this situation differently, but I don't want to spend our time arguing about it." Never abandon hope. Research shows even hostile children often question the alienation internally and harbor deep desire for their targeted parent to keep reaching out. The path forward requires courage to see uncomfortable truths, challenge family myths, and love yourself despite being taught you were unlovable.